You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome back into the Locked On Pacers podcast, where I am recording from parts unknown, New Jersey. But we had to get this episode out even while Adam studies for finals. A lot of stuff going on in our lives, so sorry about the big gap in episodes here, but we're back for some fun off-season stuff. Adam, how are you? How are you studying?
Doing pretty well. Recording is at 11:20 on Tuesday evening. We've been just we couldn't get our stuff together from Monday and Tuesday. It's sorry guys, but it's off-season and we're both busy right now, and we don't have a huge urgency to keep recording, you know, all the time. We have like got to do a couple weeks. We don't have to do 5 weeks. No playoffs, and we're kind of also sad about them not being in the playoffs. So that helps.
Yeah, traveling is hard, but I will record a fun. I'll do the first player recap this week out Wednesday. I won't tell you what player. It's
Thursday, you mean Thursday?
Oh, are we gonna do Thursday, Friday? This is a live scheduling discussion, ladies.
Yes, because this podcast is coming out tomorrow, I assume.
Tuesday, Thursday, Friday sounds good. Okay, so coming out Thursday, that actually helps me quite a bit. But yeah, be on the lookout for that. But Adam, it's time to jump into the fun off-season free agency stuff that everyone likes talking about.
Can I say something real quick? I thought today was Tuesday.
You thought today was Tuesday? Today is Monday.
Wow, I'm just all thrown. Well, it is Tuesday. If you don't listen to the podcast,
This podcast is out on Tuesday.
All right, let's get into this stuff.
Let's talk about the off-season and free agency because, I mean, in theory, you know, there's kind of two roads. Either the Pacers have like a middling amount of cap space and a full roster, or they have a good amount of cap space with a less of a roster. But either way, they're going to have a lot of decisions to make about signing guys. And thus, we have made quite the list of – well, you actually have made quite the list of free agents that we should run through and talk about, as well as players to trade for. And
I don't know where to start. So here's what I want to start is we can do like a middling free agent one podcast of like basic level guys another time. I want to just focus on trades for this one. Just that's easier because we're only going to go about 20 minutes probably. We'll get a little late. We don't want to go too late. Otherwise, we'll get kind of stir crazy. It'll be kind of a bad ending. But so for the Pacers, I think we can both agree on this. They need a player who can also score on his own. They need like a second guy. They have Oladipo who can do it on his own. Just don't really have a number two go-to option. You don't have a guy who can just get his own bucket by himself. You got Turner who always needs a little bit of a setup. Maybe he develops his own go-to post play eventually, but he's still going to need the setup for that. But they need another go-to guy because when teams double team, that's kind of how you beat that. It's have you another guy that can just score.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So we made kind of a list, we were talking as four, of some targets for trades, and we thought of three names basically, which was Damian Lillard, Mike Conley, and Goran Dragic. And so I think we should just start with Mike Conley because he's probably the most likely trade partner.
I'm going to pause you here. I think in light of the recent Eastern Conference sweep of these Toronto Raptors, there's a chance Lowry could be a guy on that list, although you don't know for sure what's going to happen in Toronto, but it seems like they're due for a change, and I don't know what that is, and I would guess it would be trade DeRozan or fire Dwayne Casey, but Lowry could be the decision they make, so he could be throwing in the ring there.
I think it's a first you wait to see what LeBron does, which this rate is the one to change with the Cavs. Yeah, and then it's probably order of fire Casey and then next year trade DeRozan or Lowry.
That was something that Caitlin tweeted out that was super interesting. Like they could fire Casey and then he could win coach of the year at the award ceremony after he's fired.
Well, he'll just go and be a coach with Milwaukee. Now Detroit's opened up. Yeah, that's a good option for him. He'll get hired fast. I don't think he's be sitting too long on the sidelines.
Yeah, it sucks for the Raptors. Someone's going to either get traded or lose their job because they just can't be LeBron. It sucks.
Yeah, that's what this whole thing is like. The Raptors like playoff choking. This is not choking. They just lose to LeBron every year. Yeah.
Getting swept is different.
Yes, it is. I agree with that. They should not this year. They should not have gotten
swept. Not have been swept this year. But that's kind of a different discussion. Also, before we talk trades, one more thing. Stan Van Gundy got fired as president of basketball operations and coach in Detroit.
They parted ways.
Well, you can't do both jobs. You can't do two jobs at once. It's just impossible. You can't. Whole ass two jobs at the same time. You can only half ass two jobs at the same time. So that was easy. It's pretty obvious why that happened. Good coach, not a good front office guy. So now the Pistons will have a probably worse coach and a better front office. So a divisional opponent, something to watch for. But moving on to trades, who do you want to start with?
So let's start with Conley because I think he's the most likely trade target for a couple of reasons. One, he's got a really expensive contract. He's coming off an injury, and his team could be blowing it up.
Yes. So with Conley and Indiana native.
Yes, that also too. And Indiana a really good basketball player when he's healthy.
And a very, very talented basketball player.
So the last season he was healthy, he played 69 games in 2016-17, averaged 20 points and 6 assists on 40% from three and then 46 overall from the field, which is, you know, it's not like Steph Curry numbers, but it's probably he's probably a top 25 player that year at least.
Here are Mike Conley stats that I like. 2015-16, 9.5% turnover rate on 22% usage. That's exactly what you want from a high scorer next to Oladipo, is a guy who just makes the right decision and never turns it over.
He's probably just a better scoring version of Darren Collison and better defending.
Oh, and way better at defense. Like actually a good defender.
honestly, if Darren Collison's high scoring, like you higher volume, like increase the volume by a little bit, and then you put him and Corey Joseph together into a player. That's what Conley kind of is.
He's a worse shooter probably. I think his career, he shot over 40% actually last year, but
before, yeah. So he can do it.
He can do it. He never has high volume. His career high in attempts before last year.
Six and a half threes per game. That's not a little amount. That's
true. Before that, he never did. I guess the Grizzlies are adapting. I like him besides the injury contract combo makes him scary, but at the same time, it makes him scary for Memphis. And that's why you could probably get him for next to nothing, which is interesting. But you run the risk of then paying him. He is over $100 million guaranteed still. So you could run a big risk with him going forward.
So my justification for that is we talk about the Pacers having cap space and that being important and whatnot, but they aren't getting a big-name free agent. And this would be like getting a big-name free agent. You're basically, he's got 3 years left on his contract. So you're – and I think his fourth year, so he's got 3 years for this year, and the third year is only guaranteed if he plays 55 or more games in one of the two seasons. So theoretically, you're somewhat hedged if he really ends up getting hurt and terrible. You can hedge that. But he's sort of like, it's enough where it absorbs your cap space the next 2 years, but you're out of it by year 2021, right, when Depot's a free agent again, where you can then kind of make the next move for it. And he can help you win now in a way I don't think any player they can acquire this summer can do. I mean, I think even over like Ellis Lillard available, he's the best guy they can get that can help them win 50 games next year and get a top three seed in the East, especially if Toronto blows it up. And it depends, you know, what happens with Milwaukee, things like that. But they could get a top three seed if he's on their team, I think.
Yeah. And we, you know, I keep hearing qualms about his age. Well, he's younger than Darren Collison. So I don't really believe that's any factor for him.
He's 30 years old, right?
Yeah. He's 29, turning 30 soon.
No, he's 30, turning 31 soon.
Next year, he'll turn 31 during the season. You're right. Still younger than Darren Collison. you got to worry about the Achilles. You never know what's going on with that. If he can't come back and be the same guy, then maybe it's not worth it. But I'm with you there that I think he's the guy they could look into.
Well, and he's probably – if you can avoid giving up any of what I'm calling the core three, which is Sabonis, Turner, and Oladipo, it's probably worth it, right? The trade-offs would look like – Darren Collison, Al Jefferson, Bojan maybe, and then looking at like Leaf and a first or some kind of combination of that. If you could get that kind of deal for him, it's probably worth the risk.
You could probably get him for less than that.
So
think the Grizzlies would take Leaf or a first, honestly.
Okay, so if you could give up a first because Leaf has been so bad, but if you could do that, that would be a pretty good move because you basically only lose two rotation players. You upgrade at point guard by a ton, and you kind of banking on GR3 to step into the role because that's a rotation player you make up for with Bojan, basically.
I think Bojan is likely a trade guy for that. It's like you just said, GR3 is presumably able to step up, not like into his role as well, but...
And I know this is going to sound weird because last podcast I just hated on him, but worst case scenario, you start Lance at small forward.
Totally.
Or at least you have a comment. I mean, like...
Way to ruin Mike Conley than putting Lance Stephenson.
I know, but under this team, you're looking at a lineup of the same Conley, Oladipo, let's say GR3, Thad, Turner starting lineup, which is pretty lethal. And then you're looking at like you probably need another wing off your bench, but then you're still looking at Sabonis coming off the bench with Stephenson and Corey Joseph, which is you're basically three guys you play off the bench most of the time this year too. So you're not looking at like a huge decrease in the roster talent wise, and you're looking at like a significantly better point guard in a starting five that is would be one of the top in the East. You know, I don't know where it compares to like the Celtics, who are probably going to have like Hayward, Tatum, Irving, that and Brown, but it's up there depending on how Tatum progresses next season and stuff like that, and how Hayward was coming back from injury too.
Exactly, and the Grizzlies would like to get off of that cap space, and if they could get some youth and leaf, even if they're not psyched about him, maybe they would go for that. So I think that's not unreasonable to do something like Jefferson offers them immediate cap relief.
For a guy they're not going to play anyway. So
Collison gives them a bridge point guard in case somehow having Marc Gasol makes them good. And then, you know, whatever else you want to throw in. Even Thad Young could be in there. Who knows?
Yeah, well, also it leaves the Grizzlies competitive enough that if – because they're like the Pacers where they don't probably want a full-out tank.
Right.
Because they'll get a top pick this year, but it leaves them with enough cap flexibility going forward so they could have whatever pick they have this year, which could be number one for all we know, combined with Gasol and then have cap flexibility, which is like
– Hey, I'd throw in the first if they signed and trade Tyreek in there.
Okay, so you want to talk about him next?
No, he's a free agent. We're doing those later.
Okay, true. He's another guy we both like, I think, a little
bit. You like him a lot more than I do.
No, but I think we'll like him a little bit at least. There's a little bit of, like, he wouldn't be terrible.
So I would sign him to a one-year deal, yes.
Okay, well, well, that's next week. We'll do free agent next week, I guess. Yeah, so do you want to do Lillard or Dragic next?
Let's do Dragic.
Okay, so Dragic's contract is two years left at about less than 18.1 and then 19.2.
Yes. An all-star.
You think he picks up the player option, though? He probably does, right? He probably can't get anything close to the free agent.
Just because he's – yeah, I mean, he'll be 35.
I'm about to look how old he was. I didn't realize he was 35 years old.
No, he's 31 now. So in that third year, yeah, you'll get him for two more years.
He has one more year plus an option left.
Oh, then he'll be 34 at the end of the year. Yeah, that's not
bad. But still, he'll pick up the option. He's too old.
Yeah. Yeah, and it depends. Like, I doubt he could get $19 million guaranteed if he opted out at that point. It depends. Yeah, I would like to get Dragic. I don't think you'd have to give up a ton for him either.
So you're looking at, what, Collison, a first, and Jefferson?
Yeah, something like that. He could have an interesting summer between Whiteside and him and whatever they decide to do. So I think – I don't know if Dragic will be necessarily available, but, he'll be more expensive than Conley, but he's better just because of no injury qualms.
Yeah, you might have to get a leaf and a first-rounder for him.
Yeah. Shot really well from three in 2016-17 when they had more space over in Miami. Magruder got hurt this year, and they ran more through Dwayne Wade, of all people. And Waiters, too, another shooter. They lost a lot of spacing, and he still shot 37% in that clogged Hassan Whiteside team. 80% free throw shooter, quality defender, good distributor. I'm pretty sure, like Conley, his turnover rate is super low. Yeah, 12.2%, so a little higher than Conley's, but still good. And getting better every year of his career, which is something. I just really like Dragic. I think, you know, he's proven that he can lead a team and run an offense, and he would just fit really well. And I like lefties for some reason.
So the question is Miami willing to give up him?
That's the challenge. I don't think they are because, you know, they just won, whatever, 44 games this year. And I think they think if they can get out of Whiteside, they could get a quality player at center, or just Bam steps in, they could get a quality player elsewhere, and they could really, you know, ramp up their team to be something better.
So the question – does the Chris Bosh contract officially come off their books now because he's like been so many years removed? I forget.
No, it's already off their books until he plays 10.
But it still counts against the cap, right? Like, they can't like
make it.
Oh, it does not. Okay, I was trying to. So really, they have what 120 or 100, right? What do they have? $120 million guaranteed contracts basically for next season.
Something close to that. It's a lot.
So you would probably have to package. Mm-hmm. You probably have to take two contracts to get out. You probably might take like, I mean, it's a Linick. $11 million is not a great contract, I would guess.
Oh, yeah, he's good.
But you probably have to. Take two contracts.
He's as good as Thad Young.
No, but so you're thinking. I agree with that. He's probably that level. But I'm saying you're probably thinking Miami in their mind is thinking they need to get off.
I think
enough money to get a max guy.
Damn it.
Okay, but then you got to get off enough money to be able to get max cap space, and that's so they can get rid of Whiteside and Dragic, and then they're in like this rebuild mode. But then they can also have enough cap space to get somebody big.
Yeah, right. They got $116 million guaranteed next year already. So someone's gone from there. The question is who, yes. And if it's Dragic, it's Dragic. I just said his name differently both of those times. But Collison, you know, could presumably step on into that to be their point guard for a year if they want to save some money there. And You know, I'm not sure he's necessarily available. It depends how catched up they feel like they really are. But if they can get off Whiteside, that changes things. But until they get off Whiteside, I think he could be gettable.
Yeah, I think Whiteside's the key here because they like Bam Adebayo, who could be their starting. I think they really have him as a starting center right now, to be honest. He's so much cheaper.
Or Olynyk could start at center.
Yeah, I just think
they have the bigs.
They have enough bench guys where they get off Whiteside, they'd love to get another good player next to Dragic. But yeah. I don't know if they can. And I just don't know if they go into rebuild mode. That's the only thing. Because they're one of those, they're too big of a market. But I don't know. I mean, how long does Pat Riley have left? Is there some kind of future looking for that? I'm just saying, there's things like that. Like for example, San Antonio, you look at, like, is Popovich, you know, we think he's not going to retire, but he could. Like, that could change a whole bunch of plans for a lot of teams if he retires and then they just blow the whole thing up. You know, that's just something to think about. But I like him too. I don't know. Fit-wise, what do you think? For Jota, like, what does he do well?
Just as good of a fit as Conley. He's, like, faster than Mike Conley. But he's a little worse on defense. So it kind of depends what you think is better for the Pacers there. And I think the speed is nice, but the defense is also nice.
Does he still push this team to the top, probably three seed or close to it, if at least competing for a top three seed?
Probably, you know, maybe. I mean, I don't know if it gets him pat. Like, if you consider Cleveland, depending on what they have.
So
Toronto, Boston, and Philly, like, who are you better than in that group if you have Dragic all of a sudden?
So I'm thinking Toronto drops off. That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, that
they
is.
They blow it up or something. Or this,
we'll talk about, like, them soon.
I think that's what I'm thinking that there. The question is, does Milwaukee jump? That's the one to me.
To quote Kevin Arnovitz on the Low Post, or Milwaukee finally figures it out.
Yes, I listened to that too this morning.
And that was very good.
On your plane, right? Yeah, it was a really good podcast.
I'll promote other podcasts online. Yeah, that was
good. That was a really good one. You want to move on to Lillard real quick?
Lillard, yes. Similar situation to Dragic here, except I feel like
more money.
More unlikely to be traded.
Yeah, so he's got 3 years left on his deal. He's got 28, 29 million, and 31 million. Really, it's more like 28, 30, and 31 and a half million on his contract.
He is at the skill level where his salary doesn't matter, right? He outplays it because
he's worth
more
it.
More than a max guy. Exactly. Question, so you don't worry about the money, and even over 4 years. The question is his aging, or if he's available and what it would cost, if he even is.
Well, so also we have the thing is, for him to leave, he has got to force a trade, basically. He'll have to say to his team, I want out, and that will force a trade. And two, does him coming here make them any better than the McCollum? It's the same. You're basically running the same team as you had it with maybe a better bench, because Trailblazers are so cap ruined right now, and they've got literally their bench was terrible.
Totally cap shot. They already have 110 mil guaranteed next year without re-signing Nurkic, without re-signing Shabazz Napier, without bringing Pat Connaughton. Like, they are in trouble. Also, Shabazz Napier, can we add him to our free agent list?
Yes, we can.
Right now, I'll put it in the note.
I put it in right now. No, but also, I mean, there is the off chance that the Blazers basically say we want to build around McCollum because he's cheaper contract think whatever, and we think we can get something huge. Like, if they could, they would need a big haul from the Pacers. That's probably where you can't get away with not giving up Sabonis or Turner.
Yeah. Right? In that case, if you're getting Dame, for sure you give up one of them, and they might
not even. Gonna get
I think the other option too that would suck because his last stint here was not super great. But taking on Evan Turner. You know,
you gotta give up Lance.
Ton of money.
They fight. They fought last time.
Yeah, it's a ton of money. You just cut Lance, team option. But
no, I understand. I understand.
Taking in a ton of money, so I don't know how feasible it is. But that's something. Or Myers Leonard. He's making. He's got $30 million guaranteed over the next 3 years, and he doesn't even play. I don't even think he played in like.
50 I think you're more likely to get Myers Leonard just because it would make fit wise. Because if they give up like a Sabonis, that's sort of like at least. Position wise,
they don't even let me look at this. Yeah, Myers Leonard played 33 games this season. Leonard played 250 minutes, and they're paying him $30 million. Like, that dude's bad.
I understand, but if you're the Blazers, you can convince yourself. So, first of all, like, if you're say taking on $35 million, that means you got to give up Sabonis. You got to give up Al Jefferson is gone. You got to give up Collison. You got to give up. Bojan and then something else too, or to get to 37, you need another contract.
No, because they have the $6 million space. They only have to really get to like 27-ish.
Okay, so that gets you there. I mean, that's probably 32.
Yeah, it's feasible. There are legal ways to do it with Leonard. So I think that's the path to make it more feasible.
But then, are you any better than
exactly
the McCollum? I mean, I guess if you put McCollum and Lillard in the East, they might be what? They'd be the same thing as Washington, but better because they're more consistent. No, but record-wise, they probably are better. They're the same team as Washington, but they have more consistency.
No, they won 50 games in the East, yeah.
Right. They're probably where Philly is. Everybody from Philly down gets pushed back a seed.
Yes.
And maybe that, I mean, as we think of this in context, like playing out West is more brutal than playing in the East. It just is.
It's only like two wins difference, but like with how tight all the races were this year, that's a huge deal.
Yeah. Plus, if you think about it, Lillard would feast on all. There's not like any, he doesn't get screwed defensively as much as he would get screwed defensively out of West with all the point guards. Right. Harden, Westbrook, and Curry are just hard to play a ton. Play against them,
you
but like playing
against the game. Is his stats aren't like crazy. Like he's super clutch and I think he gets known for it, but like the low league.
Yeah, but he has stretches. He has he had 25 game stretch this year where he was just like incredible.
Yeah.
Or after the All-Star break. Well,
Like he's a stud and he plays like he's super healthy.
Or 27 a game. That's incredible.
A total stud. Great free throw shooter, great in the clutch, but like below average 3-point shooter is not something I expected out of him. I just didn't know that, I guess.
It's because of volume, probably.
Yeah, well, that's kind of a bad thing.
Well, no, but you put him next to Oladipo.
Low turnover rate, though, is good, especially given how high his usage is.
So the question is, do you think he fits well next to Oladipo? And I know your question is your answer is probably yes, but if we're looking into the long term, does he fit well next to both Turner and Oladipo in building? Well,
you know, I think Oladipo is the best attacker he's ever played next to, and he's probably, let me phrase that, he's a good catch and shoot guy, so I think that would help him out. Defensively, he's a sieve, so that would be where the problem
is. So the other question I have for you, is it possible that you move Oladipo to point guard and you go after CJ McCollum? Would you like that fit?
Don't like that one.
Because McCollum's a really good 3-point shooter. If we said it, like I said, if you put Oladipo next to four great 3-point shooters, he might just be Russell Westbrook or a better version of Westbrook.
I was about to say, I'm not sure CJ McCollum can create his own shot off the dribble, but I don't think that's true. I think he can.
I don't think you don't need as much if Oladipo is your point guard and him just driving and slanting.
Right, but the point kind of is too, you can stagger guys, right? Like that's why we want all these guards.
Yeah, they made Chris Paul and James Harden fit together. I mean, you could try it, especially if he's the more likely one to be available anyways. You took on McCollum and you take on Turner's contract. You could probably swing that. Like that could actually happen.
B-ball refs yelling at me. I'm actually going to consider putting, if the Cavs make the finals, I might put physical money on the Nets pick for CJ McCollum trade happening.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah.
Well, the lottery is soon, right? Is it before?
Yeah, it's in like a week. We all have to talk about that if anyone in the Pacers division does well. I don't think McCollum makes a ton of sense.
No, I don't think it does either, unless you can get him kind of on the cheap. You know what I mean? If it's like a cheap asset acquiring like out first rounders and you're just giving up like Collins and Bowie on, and you're just basically giving them cap relief by taking on Turner and you're giving up Collins and Bowie on Jefferson and somebody else to give them cap relief, that would maybe be worth it.
I will let you do the next one because I don't want to. Kemba Walker.
That's the last one we'll do, right?
You want to do a different one for our last one?
No, Kemba's fine with me. I didn't know we were going to do Kemba.
We've done all point guards, so I feel like maybe we shouldn't do a point guard this time.
No, because I don't want to talk Kawhi. I really don't.
Well, I don't think they're going to trade for Kawhi.
Yeah, I don't think they can. So, Kemba,
I will go with Otto Porter.
Okay, Otto Porter. I'm going to pull him up real quick.
So, rumors that there's rumblings in Washington of some not like a teardown per se. But think about this. Did you know Otto Porter's the highest paid player on the Washington Wizards?
I think in the back of my mind I did, but then isn't John Wall's contract kick in 2020 to be
2019, 2020.
So in two seasons, I mean, right? In two seasons, the Wizards will have four players, maybe five players, guaranteed $108 million. That's above the cap for five players. They have to move off one of them.
And I think Porter's the one they would move off of. I know they'd like to get off Mahini, but it's just not possible.
So actually, Porter's contract is bad, but it's only 3 years.
Bad. It's not bad.
Yeah. I'm saying it's not bad. It's a lot of money for a guy who might not be like worth the $30 million number.
He's not like sexy to watch. You know, he doesn't fit the bill of a guy that we were talking about that's like the creator when Depot's out, but he fits so well next to this team that they have right now.
So could you give him up? Could you get him without giving up Darren Collison? That's be my key.
Yeah, I think you could. I think you'd have to give up Bojan.
Well, yeah, but he's replacing Bojan.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't think that's a big deal.
I'm saying because if you get rid of Collison, you'd lose a point guard.
If you take back Gortat, the Wizards would love that because he's like a locker room problem.
That one year, that's not, it's actually probably worth it.
And it's only 1 year, and he's the best screener in the NBA. So you're taking in $40 million of money there, but you can cobble together $40 million of money.
So how do you cobble $40 million without Collison? That's the problem.
If you could do next league season, you just prey on the cap space. Except that actually, this is something we're gonna have to talk about on a future trades podcast. Next season, the new CBA kicks in, right? And partial guaranteed contracts in trades only count for the amount that's partial guaranteed. So Collison only counts for $2 million in trades, and Bojan only counts for $1.5 million in trades.
Unless you pick it up, right?
No, it's their past their guarantee date, right? Yes, yeah. But Al Jefferson guarantee date is January. So,
my thought with Collison and Bojan is not that teams will want to cut them right away. It's that they'll want to use them as the expiring contract. So keep them for a year, then get rid of them. Because like the Wizards will want the bodies of Collison and Bojan. I don't know if they want Bojan back actually. Then I want Bojan back, but they want that body because like they could use a backup point guard. I mean, they were freaking starting Ty Lawson for God's sake. They could use Collison is definitely worth a $10 million backup point guard spot.
Yeah, I don't know what their Ty Lawson made $8,000.
But he was starting. He was off the first, like one of the first point guard off the bench. They need a backup point guard.
No, he was actually okay.
I think the Wizards by themselves would try to acquire Collison somehow because he's a very good point guard to have, especially off your bench.
Yeah. No, I think they would like that. I think the Wizards would like that maneuvering. It's so weird looking at Ty Lawson's basketball reference page because he doesn't have the Washington season as his last spot in regular season, but he does in playoffs, which is pretty funny.
Nice. I don't know. I think though we hit like four guys, and the interesting thing is going to be is who's going to blow things up and who's not this offseason, because there could be another guy we're not thinking about available. And it's just
I anticipate many shakeups this summer.
Yeah, I do too. The real question is though, can the Pacers acquire a guy without giving up, like I said, one of their core three? That's the biggest.
Right. Because I think they can.
Yeah, I mean, you would do it for a guy like Lillard, but like I'm not sure anybody else, unless it's like Kawhi. You give up any of those three players, and especially not giving up Oladipo. Oladipo is never leaving this place, ever. No. He's leaving this place when he retires. Number four will be retired. The Pacers, if he continues the way he's playing. If Oladipo
only trade Oladipo if, like, LeBron says he'll sign for a three-year minimum contract or something.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, if Oladipo puts this like, run this year for 4 or 5 year run like this and then has, like, kind of, like, a normal tail-off for a guy at that level, he will be here. Number four will be retired.
He'll be like the third best player in franchise history.
He could pass Paul George if he has this for 6 years because it's about the same PG he had.
Yeah, he could.
But or that's Granger. Conversation for Granger. I mean, I'm just talking about
way ahead. We're putting the horse.
Yes, exactly. But
Otto Porter. We barely talked about him. You get a 44% 3-point shooter. Never turns over the ball. Actually led the league in turnover percentage last year. Only 7.4% this year. So he makes all the shots. He makes positive plays with the ball. He's a pretty good defender. He's a pretty good rebounder. He's just the perfect guy that they could possibly have at three.
Yeah, you get like a guy who's not maybe one of the best 10, like small forwards, but maybe probably in the 10 to 15 range, where it's not a guy who's going to be like can bully you down like LeBron or Kawhi even or like a PG, but you're getting a guy who like is consistent and also knows his role, where he's not expecting to be the number one guy. He understands that he's the number two,
plug
three
on both forever by Kevin Broom about Otto Porter. That was unreal good. It was so good.
What was his take? You got it yet?
No, it was just that he was like the only bright spot on their team this year, just because you know that he does exactly what you're gonna get from him, and he does a lot of great things.
Well, here's the thing: if the Wizards didn't sign John Wall to that stupid max deal, they would actually be in great shape. They would, because Beal looked really good at times. Like Beal looked like legitimate, like he could be on one kind of team.
Wall was worth it the year he signed it.
He was, but now in hindsight, it's not.
No, I mean we'll see. He's still really good.
Yeah, he's still really good, but if they're getting beat in the first round of the NBA playoffs every year, it's not worth it.
Yeah, they're playing the best team, well, presumably.
Well, we think the best. No, the Pacers play the best team.
Let's go to the second best team. All right. Here's a line. Per 100 possessions, Otto Porter this season averaged 23.3 points, 10.1 rebounds, 3.2 assists, and 2.4 steals. Here's a complete list of other players who managed that combo this season: Ben Simmons, Anthony Davis, Russell Westbrook, DeMarcus Cousins, and Andre Drummond.
That's really good.
It's a great group.
To end this podcast, can we rant for 2 minutes how the Pacers just dragged Cleveland, just like basically a 12-round fight, and then perfectly set up the Raptors to get like a tired Cavs team, at least in game one or game two, and they couldn't take advantage of it, and now they got swept. Like, I don't understand this. It's but a yeah, bothering
I'll me. I'll say two things here. One, the Pacers game plan was so much better than the Raptors, like far and away better. But two is the Cavs role players did nothing compared to what they did in this series. And that is part of that, that bleeds into the game plan thing. Like the Pacers game plan helped shut down the Cavs role players, and that strategy seemed to work a lot better than what the Raptors did.
And also the Raptors were there. They basically rely on their bench all year, and the bench doesn't mean crap in playoffs. And we all kind of knew that. That's
what I've been saying all season.
No, but we've been saying that, but also we, in the back of all of our minds, at least mine, I'm like, well, maybe it does mean something for them. Maybe they didn't actually win it this year, but they didn't mean anything. They have so many young players who just weren't experienced enough to win past the first round.
Here's their super amazing, awesome bench that they had in this game. CJ Miles was 5 of 11 and a minus 15. Fred VanVleet was 2 for 5, minus 14. And everyone else on their bench was a minus 10 or worse, except for Norman Powell.
No, and LeBron just takes your bench out because he can just
– Yeah, he just plays the whole game.
He plays the whole game. And what's – I just can't believe the Pacers literally – like it took everything from LeBron. I mean, he was cramping by Game 7 to beat the Pacers.
Yeah.
And then the Raptors just folded.
J.R. Smith didn't miss this game. Kevin Love, 8 of 13. Kyle Korver, 6 of 8. George Hill, 5 of 8.
No, but part of that is the Pacers' game plan. Was Thad Young was all over Kevin Love.
Thad Young did a great job, and they did a nice job of overloading the strong side and making sure the ball was out of LeBron's hands when they could. They really had the game plan.
So then in hindsight, are we actually not as mad at McMillan? Because he clearly is a better coach than Casey.
He blew one key rotation, but his game plan was good.
And he blew – talking about the not playing Oladipo the whole game?
Yeah. No, that whole second half.
Yeah, that's what I mean, the whole second half. Yeah, I agree with you on that. But that you could at least justify where he could say, well, Oladipo would not have had the energy at the end of the game. Like you could maybe justify
it a little bit.
But it blew you were already out of the game by the time you brought him back.
Impossible to say.
Yeah, so it's impossible to say. I'm mad at the Raptors because
This is another thing too, but though like we're saying, like it could just be that their scheme was worse by the Raptors here. Like we can't say the Pacers are better than the Raptors just because of results against LeBron, you know.
I don't know.
Like they did better. They clearly did better. But that's because of the strategy against the Cavs, not like a head-to-head.
It seems like the story of the Pacers franchise is taking the best player in the world to the max and losing Game 7. It happened with Jordan, 98, lost in Game 7, Jordan. I mean, this is their story of their franchise. They even took the 2000 Lakers to Game 6, which is a pretty big accomplishment considering it was Kobe and Shaq, and that was probably the most competitive finals they had of their three-year run until they lost to the Pistons. I mean, they took that Pistons team to six games, a really competitive series. I mean, their whole story of taking LeBron now, two times a Game 7. I mean, they take him super competitive, but are always that like team that's just like one step behind.
Yeah. They were one game away from that Shaq team in the 95 too, from going to the finals that year.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. It's just, this team is like,
they would have played a six seed. They would have been the home court. Anyway.
No, I mean, it's like if you play these things out, like the scenario of the Pacers not making the finals only once in all these years, it would. Yeah. It's like this is it only happens in one time, one out of 10 scenarios, and this is the world we live in. I mean, like, do you count 2004, 2013? I mean, even maybe not this year, I mean, like the finals, but like beating LeBron. I mean, there's just so many times where they could have made the finals.
I don't know if they would have made the finals for sure, but you know, yeah, they here's what they can say. They can say their game plan was super better than the Raptors was. And if the 76ers find a way to somehow beat the Celtics, they're definitely going to have a better game plan than the 76ers will. But I think the Celtics win the series eventually. Brad Stevens could come up with a better game plan than the Pacers. The problem is he doesn't have the players necessarily.
Yeah, I'm also so mad that how did the state of Indiana let Brad Stevens leave?
I know, it's so annoying. I put that in our Slack chat. I'll say it on the pod, whatever. I don't care how irrational it is. I'd trade the Pacers next two first round, probably even three first round picks for Brad Stevens right now.
I would too. He's the
three, maybe not, but 200% take him right now.
I don't understand how the state of Indiana let that guy leave.
No, just, so was, bad.
Like somebody has to have known he was in the freaking backyard of the Pacers, and he was. Oh man,
it's bonkers.
It's ridiculous.
We can talk about trades for Brad Stevens on another pod.
Yeah, I think we need to finish one up. But
stay tuned for free agents and players who play other positions. Really, I know we did mostly point guards today. A few of requests or players you want to add to our free agent discussion list, just let us know. Sorry if there's any weird audio quality stuff because I'm in a hotel room. Adam's in a library.
I think it's been good.
It does sound pretty. I'm glad that the internet's good here. Thank you guys for listening. Enjoy your Tuesday, and we'll be back either tomorrow or Thursday. It sounds like Thursday for our first player recap. Thanks for listening.